So Amir Teshem, over the course of this year, will be working in the Halacha Be'ian segment of the Chabura on several topics, Lemasa, that are headquartered in Seder Nashim. And we are beginning from the very end of Seder Nashim, beginning from what's essentially the last sugya, or almost the last sugya in Seder Nashim, the last sugya in Kiddushin, but in a certain sense, perhaps it's a cap to the whole Seder. And that, of course, is the sugya of Yichud. Rabbi Schechter often will say when he opens up Hilchas Yichud, opens up a shir or a series of shirim in Hilchas Yichud, that learning Hilchas Yichud is a study of kulas, which at first sounds a little counterintuitive. But as we're going to see, we're very much rooted this week and the next week also in Sif Aleph, Sif Beis. So the limud opens with the Isser Yichud, but as we're going to see, the vast majority of the limud is what are all the kulas. Sif Aleph says there's an Isser Yichud. Sif Beis also talks about that, but right from Sif Aleph and on, we're talking about, well, Yichud is mutter in this scenario, Yichud is mutter in that scenario, and practically speaking, we're going to come out with a toolkit of 8 or 10 kulas over the course of the limud, 8 or 10 kulas, each with its own rules and regulations. You know, what you need for definitions, when it applies, what the limitations are, what are the exceptions to the exceptions, each with its own quirks. But we're going to come out with the bulk of the limud will be the study of what are the different tools. You have a situation, is it already mutter? Is one of the tools already in place? And if not, what do I need to do in a given situation? Do I have to introduce an extra person? Do I have to make it a little more public? What do I need to do to create a valid heter for the situation? So with that in mind, the Mishnah and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah, obviously, all do open with the Isser of Yichud. Obviously, the sugya begins with the Mishnah Daf Pei Amud Beis. And that Mishnah Daf Pei Amud Beis essentially lays out 5 major points. Number 1 is the Isser Yichud. And then number 2 and 3 are Shtei Nashim versus Shnei Anashim, which we're going to get back to very soon. The fact that there is an Isser Yichud, even if there are multiple women, but that there is not an Isser Yichud according to the Mishnah if there are multiple men. Then point 4 is the Heter of Ishto Imo. So we already have 2 Heterim as we're working through the Mishnah. We're not even done. 1 Heter of Shnei Anashim, another Heter of Ishto Imo. So although a man with 2 women usually is an Isser Yichud, but if one of those 2 women is his wife, so that would be mutter. And finally, in terms of Yichud, leaving aside the Kiruv Basar discussion at the end of the Mishnah, the 5th point about Hilchas Yichud comes near the end of the Mishnah, that there's a heter of Yichud. A 3rd heter is Imo Ubito. Although Yichud is Aser, but if the woman with whom I'm having Yichud is my mother, my daughter, so then it's mutter. And as we saw, the Gemara right away jumps in to my time and Menahan Emili. But which is interesting. The Gemara wants to know my time. The Gemara gives an answer, Nashim Daitan Kalos, which we'll have to talk about in a moment. And then the Gemara is Menahan Emili, where does this come from? And a long discussion about the Remez, a long discussion about the Drasha from the Parsha of Mesis. So one of the things that might strike you, again, the Mishnah had made 5 points. Asked for the repeat. The Mishnah had made 5 points. Number 1 was the Isser of Yichud, and then Shtei Nashim, Shnei Anashim, Ishto Imo, and Imo with an Aleph Ubito, mother and daughter. So when the Gemara asks my time, Mino and Emili, so it's interesting that we're asking for both, and that's something that the Achronim point out, and it's something the truth is that as you saw in the Chuvas HaRashba, what was it, Aleph Kuf Ayin Ches, number 1,178. The Rashba wrote a tremendous number of tshuvas, more than 1,000 just in Chelek Aleph alone. The one who asked the Rashba, the Shailer, Ben Eliyahu Me'ako, so he already makes the point that this is very interesting, and the Pnei Shua, I believe, points to Sa'ad Chachmas Adam, Pischei Tshuva quotes, the Gemara asked, my time of Menahan Emili, which seems a little bit redundant. And the answer seems to, you know, Are you asking for the svar or are you asking for the pasuk? And the answer appears to be that they're really talking about two different cases. The maitaima is talking about point number two in the Mishnah. The minohani mili is talking about point one in the Mishnah. The maitaima is talking about shtei nashim. The minohani mili is talking about isha achas. Because after all, the Maitaima is explained, as Rashi points out, the Maitaima is speaking to the case of Shtei Nashim, the Ish Echad. What's the reason why it's us? And the Gemara gives a Svara, Nashim Daitan Kalos, which Rashi points out means there's nothing to do with intelligence, and it's important to make that point. This is the primary context in Shas in which that phrase appears. It's not about intelligence, it's about the psychodynamics of intimacy. As Rashi points out, there's more of a concern that one man might induce not only one woman, but perhaps even two women to be mezana with him. And although the presence of a third party, you know, it seems like it would negate an Isser of Yichud because the third party is a security leak, and a couple would be embarrassed to engage in znus in front of a third party who could spread it. But if all three people are participants, so then he's going to be mezana with each of them, so then there's going to be a pact of secrecy, and they won't be uncomfortable in front of one another because no one's going to spill the beans. So Rashi explains that what the Gemara is saying is, because the dynamics of the situation are more frequently, exceptions to every rule, but it's more common that the male is the driver of the situation as opposed to the female. So it's more likely, not very likely, but more likely that that he might induce, that a man with two women, he might induce both of them to be mezana, and as a result, the presence of the second woman as a shomeris, it doesn't solve the problem because maybe she'll be a participant as well. The reverse is less likely. So that's why shnei anashim v'isha achas, since we see it's so unlikely that she will induce both men to be mezana, so the presence of a third man, he serves as a shomer and he mitigates the concern of yichud. But the presence of a second woman certainly reduces the chances of znus, but doesn't reduce it quite as much. It's still above the threshold for which we are concerned. There's still a slight chashash znus, and therefore shtei nashim is still an isur yichud, but shnei anashim is not an isur yichud. That was the maitaima, clearly talking about the case of two women with one man, whereas the minohani mili addresses itself to the case of a man and one woman. You think about what that drasha was, the remez liyichud min haTorah, was ki yisischa achicha ben imecha. The Gemara said, the son might be with the mother, but he wouldn't be alone with someone who's not his mother. Right, so that becomes the makor for two dinim. Number one, for the fact that there isn't isur yichud to begin with, and the first official exception, though it appeared at the end of the Mishnah, that there's an Isser of Yichud, but with one's mother, a son and a mother is an exception. The Beinim is Misyached im Imo. And the Pnei Yeshua has a discussion exactly how that the drasha works. But the simplest understanding is that we're saying that that's a scenario. Gemara, the Pasuk keeps repeating the word Beseser, Beseser, Beseser. So Ben Imecha Beseser. So we're darshaning that you could have a son with a mother, b'seser, alone, just the two of them. The seser obviously is similar to the language of stira, v'nistra, that appears in Parshas Naso by the Sota Suffolk. Well, we'll have to talk more going on about whether Sota is always the same as Yichud or not. You'll remember that the din of Sota is that... is that if the woman is a married woman is alone with another man, so if a married woman is mezana has an affair while she's married with someone other than her husband, so she, if we know that to be the case, So it creates an Isser Labal and an Isser Labol. She's no longer permitted to be intimate with her husband, nor is she permitted to marry the boyfriend. The Torah tells us in Parashas Naso that even if there isn't direct evidence, you don't have Edim to the adultery, but sometimes there could be sufficient circumstantial evidence that there's enough of a likelihood, enough of a possibility of Eshes Ishes, and so that she's not a Sota Vada, but she's a Sotas Suffolk. And she'll be a Surmi Suffolk unless that Suffolk is resolved using the Nase of the May Sota. What creates a Sota Suffolk? What creates enough likelihood, enough Raglaim Ladava, at least a Suffolk, Eshes Ishes, and so? The Torah tells us in Parshas Nasa, the Mishnah's beginning of Masechta Sota, expand on it, two stages. Kinoi and Stira. Kinoi is that the husband in front of Edim shared with his wife that he has suspicions that she's having an affair with Ploni and that she therefore should not be alone with Ploni. If after, subsequent to that kinoi, subsequent to that witnessed conversation, that witnessed warning, she goes ahead and does have stira, she is alone with that the subject of that warning, so that combination, kinoi plus stira, already creates enough of a likelihood, we're not convinced that there was nus, but enough of a likelihood that she's asura misafik. There's at least a safik of eshes ish sezinsa. We'll talk about this a little more when we get back to malkin al hayichud ve'in osur al hayichud. But suffice it to say, it is an example of something that either is the same as yichud or very similar to yichud in chumash. That stira, the language of the mishnah is beginning of sota is stira, kinoi and stira. Kinoi is the warning, and stira is the when they're alone. When they are beseser, the Torah in Parshas Naso talks about Venistra, and then in Parshas Re'eh, in the Parsha of Mesas, the word is beseser. So it definitely sounds very similar. And so the Torah is again, our Gemara on Daf Peyam Beis, and as you saw, it also appears in Sanhedrin, appears in Avodah Zarah. So the drasha was that the son can be with his mother beseser. So once again, beseser means what? Beseser means how many? Beseser means just two people. That's Ben with Imo. And the word Beseser means just the two of them. As a matter of fact, by Sota, to move a little farther afield, if you're familiar with the principle of Suffolk, the principles of Suffolk Tuma. As you know, normally we would say Suffolk Dorai, when you have a Suffolk in Din, outside of Din Imamun, as usually we say Suffolk Dorai, Lachumra, Safek Rabban, Lakula. An exception to Safek Deraisa Lachumra is in the world of Tumah V'Tahara. In the world of Tumah V'Tahara, there are special rules. They're geographical. It depends whether it's Bishus HaRabim or Bishus HaYachid. How do you know? What's the makar that a Safek Tumah Bishus HaYachid is Tamei Misafek? So the answer is, it's learned from the Parsha of Sota. V'Nisra V'Hinitma. Right? She's considered Temeya, so to speak, not in the Tumah V'Tahara sense, but in the sense of Asura Labaila, Misafik. Why? Because she was, the Gemara points out, Besesa, because she was alone. That's how we know if she's Rishus Hayachid. That's why the definition of Rishus Hayachid in the world of Tumah is not more than two people. Once it's in the presence of three people, it's called Rishus HaRabim. Not Rishus HaRabim for Hilcha Shabbos, not Bishus Rabim in other areas of Halacha, but it is considered to be Bishus Rabim in the world of Safek Tumah. Why? Again, because Beseser means not more than two people. So what emerges, now coming, putting all these pieces back into our Gemara, Gemara had asked, my Taima and Mino Animili. But they're talking about two different scenarios. My Taima was asking, what's the reason that there's an Isser of for a man to have yichud even with two women? And the answer was nashim dayat and kalos. That's why, even though they're not alone, even though it's three is a crowd, but still also there's still a chashash zanus, some chashash zanus, because nashim dayat and kalos. But then the Gemara says, what's the source in psukim? That pasuk is only talking about isha achas. Ish echad v'isha achas. It's only talking about beseser. It's a one-on-one situation. And again, that's what leads... Not only are the two questions talking about two different cases, but that's what also leads the Rabbi Eliyahu Me'ako and the various achronim quoted by the opening Pischei Tshuva in the Siman. He quotes Achavas Yair, a Tshuvas Chavas Yar, V'yar Bachrach, one of the early Achronim, and he quotes a Chachmas Adam. He quotes the Binas Adam. The Binas Adam is a Chachmas Adam's footnotes on himself. So both of them point out that yes, Yichud is Isra Yichud is Daraisa, but only in a one-on-one situation. Once you're dealing, once three is a crowd, once you have more than two people present, it's Mutter Min HaTorah, it might be Aser Midrabanan. And that's more fully explains the dynamic of our Gemara. Minon Emili is asking, what's the source in Psukim? And the source in Psukim is only Beseser. The source in Psukim to Aser Yichud is only when it's one man and one woman. Once you have three people, it's no longer Beseser, it's Mutter Min HaTorah for sure. The Maitaima is saying, but Midrabanan, there still is a Isser of three people sometimes. That's what the Mishnah said. Once it's more than two people, it's Vaday Mutter Min HaTorah. Is it Asr Midrabanan? It depends. Is it two men and a woman? The two women and a man. Shnei Anashim, the Mishnah says, Heter Gamor. Shnei Nashim, the Ish Echad, is Asr Midrabanan, because there is still some significant chashash. There still is some significant chashash. Enough of a chashash that Midrabanan we're going to forbid. Just to give numbers, just to illustrate a little bit, I'm going to totally make up these numbers just by way of illustration. Let's imagine that in a one-on-one situation, Beseser, there's a totally making up numbers. We'll imagine there's a 10% chance of Znos. In a situation of Yichud Beseser. If you had, once you introduce a second woman to the situation, the chance of Znus drops to, let's imagine, 2%. What are the chances that one man and two women are going to be Mizana? 2% chances. If instead of adding another woman, you add another man, Shnei Anashim V'Isha Achaz, that would maybe drop to 0.5%. 0.5% chance. Again, these numbers are totally made up for illustration. So the Seser is 10%, Shnei Anashim would be 2%, Shnei Anashim would be 0.5%, and the threshold for Gzeira, let's imagine, is 1%. In other words, to be clear, Shnei Anashim is unlikely, but it's still likely that there's enough of a miyut to warrant a Gzeira Midrabanan. Shnei Anashim is also possible, but so unlikely that it no longer warrants an Isdrabanan. That's an application of the global principle of Milsul Ashchicha L'Gazabei Rabanan. When Chazal impose a Din Drabanan, they have the right and the responsibility to make Din Midrabanan, Asum Mishmaris L'Mishmar, Shmartim Mishmarti, Chazal Darshan, Asum Mishmaris L'Mishmarti. Chazal are able and supposed to enact Gzeiras that will protect the Dinim Daraisa, to make a Siyag. But they're warranted, they're authorized to do that only when they're actually providing substantive protection to the Dinim Daraisa. So that's why, as Rav Shechter points out, that's the rationale both for Gzeira, for Engos and Gzeira L'Gzeira, and for Milsul Shchicha L'Gazabei Rabbanan. You only have the right, the Chazal have the right to make Gzeira if it's actually providing substantive protection, if there's cause, if there's a real contribution. So Gzeira L'Gzeira, you're not really doing very much to protect the original. The second Gzeira is not doing very much to protect the original Din D'Oraisa. And so Milsul Ashchicha, even if it's direct, I'm saying, two men shouldn't be alone with one woman. If we were to say that, why? Because in one out of 200 cases, the leads is nus, again, using the numbers I was making up before, that's so unlikely. It's possible, but so unlikely that it's not sufficient cause to warrant a Gzeira, not sufficient cause to authorize Chazal to enact such a Gzeira. Shtei Nashim v'ish Echad, also pretty unlikely, but a little more likely because of Nashim, Dayit, and Kalos. So it's, again, maybe it's only down to 2%, but above the 1% threshold, again, these numbers are all made up, just for illustration, likely, unlikely, but still likely enough that it warrants a Gzeira Midrabanan. So again, that's the background to the opening lines of that Pischei Tshuva, Sifkan Aleph, that's half of the background to that opening line. The Yichud is going to be Daraisa if it's one-on-one. And that was the Minahan Emili. Minahan Emili usually introduces, Minahan Emili means where it comes from, Psukim. It usually introduces a Drasha. Whereas my time was given the rationale for the Din Drabanan. Some of you may have heard Rav Shechter say in the past that, You open a new mesechta, open new topics. There are 1,001 questions you could ask, but typically, one of the most fundamental questions, and perhaps the most fundamental question when you begin to study Din D'oraisa, is what's the source of psukim? And one of the most fundamental questions, perhaps the most fundamental question, when you begin to study Din D'rabanan, is mipnei ma gazru. Either way, a question of makar. If you've started Psachim Daf Beis, right, that's right away Rashi and Tosfos jump into, we have a Din D'rabanan Bdikas Chametz, mipnei ma gazru. Right? The makar for Din D'rabanan is the Tam HaGzeira. The makar for Din D'oraisa, obviously, is a pasuk. So that's exactly in the sugya of Yichud, that's where the Gemara starts. This is the Rabbanon, my taima, what's the Tam HaGzeira? And this is the Raisa, where does it come from? Because Yichud is part the Raisa and part the Rabbanon. Of course, that brings us, I said this is half of what goes into the Pischei Tshuva. Obviously, the other half of what goes into Pischei Tshuva is a question of, is Yichud the Raisa at all? Is Yichud the Raisa at all? Shulchan Aruch opens by saying, Asrli, he quotes the language of the Rambam, as he so often does, Asrli is Yachid. Asher Yachid doesn't take a stand on Daraisa Drabanan. The Beis Shmuel does. The Beis Shmuel, in Tosa's position on the page, he right away says, Bishas Nila Mikraki Yisischa Chicha Ben Imecha, etc. Remez Ben Misachi Imo quotes, he quotes the Drasha. It appears as you've seen in several places in Shas, and tells us, Tosas and Shabbos says it's Daraisa. The Torah says this, there I says, you saw many Rishonim assume that drasha is Daraisa. The question is, as you know, the question is, what about the Rambam? So the Rambam is a little bit hard to nail down. And that, as you saw, it's in Bachlokas Nosakelim, Bachlokas in Page and Shulchan Aruch. Some Nosakelim think that the Rambam holds is Daraisa, and the Vilna Gaon, here on the page of Shulchan Aruch, assumes as a davar pashut that the Rambam thinks it is Drabanan. What's that all about? So there are two indications in the language of the Rambam, that two possible indications in the language of the Rambam, that Yichud is Drabanan. Again, we're talking, as the Pischei Tshuva pointed out, the whole discussion whether Yichud is Drabanan is probably only by one-on-one. One on to three people, Shtei Nashim for sure Drabanan. The question is, how about Beseser? So we have a Drasha. Drasha sounds like it's Daraisa. Moreover, as you saw, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, says Beferish that Yichud Arayos is Daraisa. You look in the Rambam, so the Rambam says it's Midivrei Kabbalah. Before he tells you that the Yichud Penuya was a Gzeir of David Beis Dino, based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and that Yichud with a Nachris is a later Gzeira from the Tanaim, from the Tekufa Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. But how about the original Isser Yichud Midivrei Kabbalah? What does Midivrei Kabbalah mean? That's a mysterious term. So that's one indication that, well, maybe that means that's not Daraisa. Maybe he means Drabanan. When the Gemara uses Divrei Kabbalah, for instance, the beginning of Bava Kamma, Divrei Kabbalah in Shas usually means a Din Drabanan that's attested to in the Tanakh. So if one of the Sifrei Nevi'im or Ksuvim mentions a Din, it's not the source of the Din, but you have a Din Drabanan that's mentioned in the Tanakh, so it's only Midrabanan, but it has a certain added oomph, because after all, it has the imprimatur of Ribbono Shel'olam. It is attested to in the Tanakh. So it's a serious, high-level Din Drabanan. So the Rambam is using that language, Divrei Kabbalah. So that gets us thinking, maybe he means Drabanan. Moreover, there's a Din that the detail the Rambam mentions, which also makes it sound like Yichud Drabanan. And that is that he says, what do you get? The Gemara says in Pe'al from an olive, Malkan ala Yichud. What does the Rambam say? What type of Malkus is it? Malkus Mardus. As a matter of fact, now at first you don't find anyone who disagrees, but if you look in the Me'iri in Kiddushin, he does mention, Rambam says Malkus Mardus, but there are those who say it's Malkus Daraisa. Wow, okay. So that might lead you, both of these points, the language of the Rambam's language of Divrei Kabbalah, and the Rambam's statement that the Malkus is only Malkus Maris, which is a Drabanan punishment. So both of those might lead one to believe that this is the Holy Yisrael Yichud is only Drabanan. Of Of course, the problem is it's very nice, but what do you do? But the Gemara and Pasuk, and the Gemara said it's Daraisa, but Verish, in Avodah Zarah, and in Avodah Zarah and in Sanhedrin. The Gemara here didn't say, the Gemara here in Kedushin didn't say it's Daraisa. The Gemara said Minon immediately. Yeah, Judah, what were you going to say? Very, very good. Yes, the Jew is making an important point. The fact that the onesh is drabanan does not necessarily mean that the iser is. It does not necessarily mean that the iser is drabanan. Yeah, let's come back to that. Let's see the gra inside and let's circle back around. Now the gra does say. The gra does say. Where is it? Sifkat and dalet. The gra himself addresses this sort of. Ironically, even though he's the one who's a proponent of the Rambam being drabanan, let's take a look in Sifkat and Dalet. Sifkat and Dalet takes us back to where the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis quotes the language of the Rambam, Mak and Ashnei, Mak as Mardus. So the Gra says, well, Mak as Mardus, Kron Shkaz Rambam Sham, the source for the Rambam, source for Shulchan Aruch and Rambam. Rambam already says, it's Mak as Mardus. And he also means, as the Rambam writes, the Isser itself is only Pia Kabbalah, Ritzono Lomar. Now the Reish Lamed means that the Vilna Gaon is now going to insert his own Perish. His interpretation of the Kabbalah is Asmachta, it's an Asmachta. The Aflaha Sofish, Dvar Torah, and even those who do hold its Daraisa, meaning those who disagree with the Rambam, Mikomakom Eno Ella Ase. It's only an Ase. So what does that all mean? What does that all mean? So the Rambam says, Vilna Gaon does seem to think that the Rambam holds the only drabanan, but he's pointing out that even if you hold its daraisa, you could still hold the Makas Mardus, you could still have Malkas Rabban. Why? So Judah, you had mentioned one reason is you could have a Isser daraisa without Malkas. There are rules for when Malkas applies. Not every Isser daraisa has Malkas. For instance, one of the rules is we pass machlokas atanam, but we pass in that lav she'ein bo maisa ein lokan lav. The Rambam has a whole list, and I think it's the Pirush Mishnayos, the beginning of the third parak of Makos, the parak Elohim Lokan about Malkas. He gives you the rundown of the, I believe he has six rules, six criteria that a violation of halacha has to meet in order to warrant the onesh Malkas. That's because in last week's Sedra, the Torah spoke about Malkas, but was very vague in terms of to whom it applies. If Basin decides that the fellow is a Rasha, then maybe he requires Malkas. If Yeshua is HaRasha, they decide the fellow is Rasha, v'haya in Ben HaKos Rasha. If the Rasha is a Ben HaKos, you deserve a Malkas, so here's how you give it. It's clear that there are rules, it's not clear what the rules are, so the Gemara derives it from the last Pasuk in that Parsha, which is Lo Sachsim Shara Badisha. And Lo Sachsim Shara Badisha becomes the prototype for the sort of halacha whose violation carries with it onesh malchus, and the Ritanam debate what exactly do you draw from it. Clearly, we don't care about it. The most details of Sachem Shor B'Disho are irrelevant. You don't have to, the Aver doesn't have to involve animals or farming, you know, in order to warrant malchus. That's not a relevant characteristic. But some things are. It has to be a law. It has to be an Isser. It has to be a law written in the Torah with a negative language. And according to many Tanam, that's how we pass it, as you said, it has to, and also, not only it is conceptually a prohibition rather than a mitzvah, and number two, the language is negative in Chumash. It involves the word lo or hisham or pen or al. But also, on a third level, that it has to be something, an active violation rather than a passive violation. It has to be lav sheish b'maisa. So you could definitely argue, that yichud, there's no malchus min haTorah because of lav she'ein bo maisa. The Vilna Gaon seems to be taking a different tack, same idea, but different detail, that although it's daraisa, there's no malchus because it's not a lav. He says it's an assay. What does he mean by it's an assay? Where's the assay? What he probably means is not so much an assay as much as the way some other Acharon put it, it's an Isur Ba'alma. In other words, It is an it's a din daraisa, but it's not written in the Chumash b'lashon lo ta'aseh. Aseh as opposed to lo ta'aseh has to do with how it's phrased, what the phraseology is in the Chumash. It's an iser, but it's not a lo ta'aseh. It's not b'lashon lo. It's not b'lashon aseh either. It's a implication. So you don't get malchus unless there's an explicit lav in the Chumash. So whether it's because ain't b'maisa, whether it's because there's no lav, either way. The fact that there's no Malkus Daraisa is not a raya offhand. We'll circle back to this in a couple of minutes, but offhand it's not necessarily a raya that it's that the underlying Isra itself is not Daraisa. This comes up, by the way, in another Rambam as well, in another context. There's when you learn Masechas Yuma, the last parak of Yuma opens with the Chamesh Inuim. The five inuim that are the five isur in Yom Kippur, achilo shtia, as well as the other four. Achilo shtia counts as one. They have the shaar inuim, the other four, rechitza sicha, nils hasandal, and tashmish hamita. Now there's it's clear, the Gemara is very clear, Chumash talks about inui. Clearly there is a requirement of inui, a requirement of tainis min ha-Torah, and there's kares. There's an isur and there's kares for eating and drinking. But the Gemara works on where do you find in Chumash a source for Rechitza, Sicha, Nias, Hasan, Latash, Shamita. And the Gemara works on this. The Gemara's opening language, when the Gemara ultimately comes to a source, I think it's in Daf Ein Vav, the Gemara says, the ultimate source that we have for the Chamesh Inuim is introduced with the language Hani Chamesh Inuim Kineged Mi. These five Inuim, what do they correspond to? And the guy says, oh, because the word Inui appears five times in Chumash. So the language of that Gemara, Kineged Mi, what do they correspond to? It doesn't sound like a real Drasha Daraisa. And there are so many exceptions. There's so many exceptions to those Yisurim. Rechitza is aser, but the Kohen, the Melech can wash his face. And this sandal is aser, but the woman just had a baby. It's going to be uncomfortable. She can wear shoes. And so on and so forth. There's a series of exceptions. So the Bayatosas say both the language and the content of the dinim make it seem like the Sha'ar Inuyim, the other four, Rechitza, Sicha, Nil Santashmita, they're only Drabbanim. Bayatosas even say, I believe it's Tosas Yishanim, there in the beginning of the last parak of Yuma, they say, if it would have said Minon Imili, that would have been a real Drasha Daraisa. But Kineged Mi sounds like it's merely an Asmachta. Now, so the Bayatos are pretty clear in several places. The Shari Numa Drabana, Chila Shtia Asim in HaTorah, Shari Numa Drabana. The discussion about the Rambam. The Rambam does sound like the five Inuim are all Daraisa. It's certainly the position of the Ran in Yuma. And there are a number of problems that have to be dealt with. One of the problems that has to I don't want to get into the whole sugya now, it's not really our topic, but one of the problems that has to be dealt with is the Rambam says clearly that if you violate Shari Nuim, you get Makas Mardus. Malkas Rabbanon. So that's as was the case with Ichud, that led some to believe that the Rambam held that the Shari Nuim are Rabbanon. And I believe the Ran himself already pushes back and says, no. It's an Issa Daraisa, just not an Onesh Daraisa. Why no Onesh Daraisa? For the same argument that Gra makes. It's only an Aseh. Because the Rambam there seems to derive Sharinuyim min HaTorah from Shabbason, Shavos, which tells me, as Ramban writes, and the Rambam himself writes, by Hilchah Shabbos, it sort of expands the basic din. But it's not a lav, it's an Aseh, Shabbason. So it's not a lav. So if I don't wear tefillin, I violate a daraisa, but I don't get malchus. It's not a lav. So if I bathed on Yom Kippur, I violated an iser, but it's not a lav, not a lo. So I say there's no malchus, and that's what the Gra is saying here as well. Now, you might push back against the Gra and say, well, that Tosas Yishanim actually just gave us another piece of ammunition. Because Tosfos Shamet had said, you remember, ah, Shari Nuyim, it doesn't say Minani Mili, it says connected me. Minani Mili, that would be Daraisa. Connected me, that sounds like it's merely not a real Drasha Gemurah, only an Asmachta. Which of course gets you wondering, here the Gemara did say Minani Mili. That's what the Gemara said, Minani Mili. Now, when we quoted, so you look at Tosfos Shamet, beginning of the last parak of Yuma, so they say, okay, so Baliatosis Lashitasam, hold that Yichud is Daraisa. How would the Gra explain that the Rambam, he thinks Rambam holds only Drabbanim? So I actually came across, we're learning Maseches Pesachim this year, so I was looking at Benu David the other day, and actually waiting for a chuppah to start, a socially distanced chuppah, kosher, mahadran chuppah, and I noticed Rabbeinu David, I think it's on Daf Zayin, writes that Minohani Mili doesn't have to always introduce a din daraisa. And the Gemara talks about chippus. There is a whole string of drushes to demonstrate that the bedikas chametz l'or haner. So and the Gemara actually says that Minohani Mili. So the Rabbeinu David says, don't worry, just because it says Minohani Mili doesn't mean that it's a din daraisa. No din daraisa that bedikas chametz requires or haner. Bedikas chametz is not a chi of daraisa. And the Gemara says, now you already saw on Daf Dalet. And that midrabbanan bittul ba'amasagi. So the whole bdikas chametz is only a chi of drabbanan. Certainly the fact you need l'or haner, it's certainly only drabbanan. But the Rebbe says, no! Sometimes the Gemara will use a minhag immediately lav dafka. Gvaldik. So there's your answer. If you want to argue the Rambam holds that yichud is only drabbanan, so then he'll probably read like Rabbeinu David in Pesachim, that the minhag immediately usually introduces a drasha gemurah d'raisa, but sometimes does not. At this point, we probably should take a break, just to explain a little bit. I was assuming maybe we should just spend the 90 seconds just explaining what we mean by a drasha gemurah versus an asmachta. In case you're wondering, what do you mean drabanan? We had a pasuk. Forget all the fancy stuff. You start handling out what language are you using to minani mili connected me. Wait, I have a pasuk. Isn't that a automatically daraisa? Just to explain clearly what the difference between a drasha gemurah and an asmachta. So the Rambam's approach, and this is the dominant approach, that Kadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai and over the course of 40 years in the desert gives the Moshe Rabbeinu three things. Number one, the text of Torah Shebichzav, the entire text of Chamesh Chumshei Torah. He conveys to him over the course of 40 years in the Midbar, and at Moshe Rabbeinu, the end of 40 years, we're going to learn about it soon, writes the entire Sefer Torah then. Number two, he gives him Torah Shebal Peh in the sense of the core of Torah Shebal Peh, the Rambam writes, the basic interpretation of every mitzvah, basic interpretation of different psukim. The psukim are not operable, are not implementable on their own. Basukah Teisha Shivas Yamin, the Rambam writes, how am I supposed to do that? What does a sukkah look like? What does Teishu look like? So obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the ikar of the Torah Shebal Peh, the basics of each mitzvah. That he gave the basic interpretation about that. And then the Rambam writes against the Gaonim, he didn't give him every single detail, but what he gave him, the third piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu, was the tools through which he and other Chachmei HaTorah throughout the generations could derive the rest of the details from the Chumash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm telling you in advance, I'm giving this text that I wrote with multiple layers of meaning embedded within it, and you need to use these Mishatar and Dreshus Behem, Kalvachomer, Xer, Shava, Klav, Pratakal, and so on and so forth, to mine the Chumash, to discover the added layers of meaning that Kadosh Baruch Hu left there for us to find. So that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kavana in the Chumash, and he said, I'm not giving it to you all on a silver platter, I'm giving you Chumash on a silver platter, I'm giving you certain core dinim of Torah Shebal Peh on a silver platter, and the rest, I'm not telling you the dinim, but I'm giving you the tools through which you'll find them. And that's the job of Chachmei HaTorah of the generations, is to keep digging into the Chumash to derive more dinim, to derive more details. And that's a discovery process. And that's why it's Daraisa, because you're using the tools to discover the original intent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're meant to find. If you have a drasha, so that's going to create dinim Daraisa, assuming that the derivation, the drasha, is part of that part three, one of the tools that Kadosh Baruch Hu actually gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. A young participant, Baruch Hashem. But sometimes you'll have a, you know, The Gemara will say, oh, you see from following din from this pasuk, and the method of derivation, the method of interpretation does not fit within the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben. So then, that's an asmachta. If it's, sounds like it's loosely connected, but it's not really being derived using Kal v'chomer, Gzeira Shava, Riboy, Klal Prat Klal, Davar Shehayah B'chol, etc. It sounds like it's loosely sounds like it. So that doesn't generate, if it's not Drasha Gemura, then that doesn't generate a Din D'Oraisa. So then what is it? Where did it come from? So then at that point we say, well, the source, in that case, if the derivation, the interpretation is not a Drasha Gemura, it's not one of Misha Torah and Drasha's Ben, so then the Pasuk is not actually the source for the Din. What is the source? Why is the Din binding? Because Chazal decided to enact a Din Rabbanan. So then what's the connection to the Pasuk? So either usually we assume that that's just a mnemonic device. Chazal wanted to help everyone remember that this is a Din Rabbanan. So I said, it sounds like this Pasuk. That's not really the source of it. Ritva suggests that maybe sometimes more than just a mnemonic device, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of intimating to us that this would be Rasan Hashem, but he's not actually mandating it. That's what the Ritva calls Asmachta Chashuva. But either way, again, whenever the method interpretation is not Daraisa, so then that quasi-drasha doesn't actually generate the din. So the binding power of the din, the reason why we have to keep that din is only because of Takanas Chazal, not because of the intimation of the pasuk. So that's what we mean, that if something is based on Asmachta, it's only Din Drabbanan. If it's based on an actual drasha, then it's a Din Daraisa. So that's the question here. There is a pasuk, but is this an asmachta? Now, so okay, so the Gra had said, the Rambam says Divrei Kabbalah means it's only Drabbanan, and that explains why he thinks it's Makas Mardus. And we explain, okay, if you're going to say that, the Gemara says Minani Mili. Okay, but the Rabbeinu David, Tosi Sharam thinks Minani Mili automatically means Daraisa, but Tosi Sharam, the Rabbeinu David says no. Sometimes Minani Mili is introducing Asmachta. That's certainly what it sounds like in Psachim, the Drasha with the Nair. Okay. But going back into the Gemara, where would this have come from in the Gemara? What would have prompted the Rambam to think it's Drabanan? So after all, the Gemara says in two places Daraisa. Not in Kiddushin, but in Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin. So the what would have prompted him to say it's Daraisa is probably the language the Gemara uses of Remez. Not immediately, but it says Remez Lichem HaTar Minayin. The language of Remez doesn't sound like a drasha. And the drasha itself is a little bit like, sort of hard to, the Pnei Yeshua works on figuring out how exactly the drasha works. It seems looser than a typical drasha gemura. On the other hand, it is difficult to argue that it's drabanan, because the Gemara says daraisa. The Gemara does say daraisa. Let's say you say the Rambam holds it's a machlokes asugyas, maybe. But those Gemaras that say daraisa also say you have used the word remez. So it seems like there's no contention on that point. But on the one hand, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin says Daraisa. On the other hand, you have the language of Remez. Interesting, a solution may lie. The Meiri often, very, very often will get, not always, but very often will interpret Gemara in a way that's consistent with Rambam. Even when he's not quoting a Rambam directly, he refers to Rambam as Gedolei HaMechabrim, often just when he's talking, just interpreting a Gemara, very often it's the interpretation that seems to fit with how the Rambam interpreted as well. Matter of fact, when we come back to the Beis Medrash, when you join me back on campus, in the old main Beis Medrash, the official Beis Medrash is actually a Sefer, what's it called? In the Rambam section. HaMe'iri V'HaRambam, or HaRambam L'fi HaMe'iri, something like that, where he works his way throughout Mishnah Torah, showing you probably hundreds of Rambams that seem to be against the Gemara, but when you look at the Meiri, look how the Meiri interprets the Gemara, now you see that must be how the Rambam read the Gemara. It's a very common phenomenon. So if you look at the Meiri here, see, he seems like he's also struggling with this. The Meiri I'm sorry, give me a second. If in case you have Meiri in front of you, you want to look it up later, it's right after he quotes the Mishnah, immediately after he quotes the Mishnah. In this in the U.S. Standard Publishing, it's page 350 in Kiddushin. He says, "Asur lis yachnim ha'erva b'pnei sha'adavar mafteach ha'mavil gili erva." Yichud asur because it leads to arayos, which is clearly based on language of Rambam. He says, "Afa b'shena yichud b'chlal min ha'mitzvahs." Yichud is not included in the min ha'mitzvahs, not with the Tariq mitzvahs, but it is an Isur Torah. Isur Torah hu karui. It is called an Isur Torah. K'mo shehevi uha derech asmachta, as they quote it through an asmachta. Wow, that's a lot of language. It's called an Isur Torah. It's brought from an asmachta. And he quotes the drasha. He says, Avodah Zarah, they said, Yichud Arayos Daraisa. Rotz Aloma, you know what that means? It's an Isur Torah miderech remez v'asmachta. It's an Isur Daraisa based on a remez and an asmachta. So it sounds like he's grappling with this. He's sensitive to the one in the language of remez, and then the language of Daraisa. And he is giving us, I think, something to work with in the Rambam, which is it could be an Isur Torah and an Asmachta. Meaning, the din is Daraisa, even though the Makar the Gemara quotes is only an Asmachta. What does that mean? So what that means, along the lines of what we said about Makas Maridus, but a step further. In other words, it might really be an Isur Daraisa, just this Pasuk isn't the Makar. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin were clear. It is Daraisa. But maybe this drasha is only an asmachta, which might be why the Rambam refers to it as perhaps as divrei kabbal. What would that mean? So now you could say, I think some achram do suggest, maybe it's halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Gemara says it's daraisa, but we don't seem to have a real source in psukim. Okay, sometimes you have dinum daraisa, not based in psukim. That's what we call halacha l'moshe m'sinai. As a matter of fact, the Rambam points out that there are two types of halachas l'moshe m'sinai. He says this, and he doesn't use quite this language, but essentially what he says in the Hakdam to Perish HaMishnayis, sometimes they're free-flowing halacha l'moshe m'sinai, just a new din, and sometimes they have a Perish HaMakubo. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that this is pshat in the pasuk. So you could have suggested, along the lines of the Avi Ezri, that Avi Ezri and Dvar Halacha discuss whether or not we should see Yichud Daraisa Beseser. Avi Ezri makes very clear the chiluk between, you know, three people, only Drabban, that's purely just a chashash. But if it's just one-on-one, it's not just the Asumi HaTorah, maybe it's a different type of Anissa. So he and Dvar Halacha pilpul back and forth what that should be. What emerges might be the following: that it's maybe it's like a, you know, there's an Isur Daraisa Perek Chafal from the Rambam of Lo Sikrevu of Kiruv Basar, what's colloquially referred to as Negiya, that appears to be an Isur Daraisa based on that pasuk in Milah Chumash Vayikra. Lo Sikrevu Legalos Erva. That's how the Tanam Darshan. Kreva Hamevi Lidei Gilui Arayos. So physical contact will often be a violation of the Isur Daraisa of Negiya, of Lo Sikru, of Kiruv Basar. So what emerged from those achronim is you could see Yichud as sort of like an extension of that, like a Negiya without Negiya. There's a Kiruv Levavos without Kiruv Basar. It's an intimate context. To be alone, that's not going to be, once it's three is a crowd, there's no intimacy. People may violate Yisurim, But it's not the same as when you're just a man and woman are alone. The situation itself can be a little bit fraught. The situation itself is a charged situation. There's a closeness even without contact. And over the last couple months, we developed language for that. It's contactless. Forget about contactless pickup. This is contactless kiruv basar. Or I should say, contactless lo sikrevu. That's what these achronim work on. Maybe yichud is sort of like an extension of lo sikrevu without actual physical contact, but the situation itself is inappropriately intimate. A person can be alone, a husband and wife are alone together, even without physical contact. That may be fraught, and that's appropriate and positive. But if you're alone with someone who's not a family member, not one's wife nor family who have no Isur Yichud, if there is an Isur Yichud, so that's fraught inappropriately. There's no physical contact. It's not a tactile problem, but it's a contactless lo sikrevu. So if you think about it like that, almost like you can either think about this asmachta as that maybe the Isser is purely just a new halacha Moshe Sinai of Yichud, or a little more than that, it's a giloy that this is really included in Lo Sikrevu. Now even the Meiri himself does not take that idea all the way. It's not fully a violation of Lo Sikrevu, because when the Meiri discusses whether Malkus is Daraisa or not, the only tzad he has that Malkus is Daraisa is, are we worried that Znus occurred, we should give you Malkus for the Znus. He does not think there should be Malkus for the Yichud alone. Doesn't sound like it's a really low Sikrevu, unless you want to argue that's because it's a Lav She'en Bo Maisa. Let's come back. We had a lot of pieces. Let's wrap everything back together and a couple of closing points. And I'm glad to stay on for questions. We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells me that it's a Yichud. The Mishnah already begins to lay out some of the Heterim. And as we work our way through the Gemaras in Kiddushin, step by step, sif by sif, we're going to see more and more. We'll develop a whole toolkit of Heterim, each with its own rules and regulations. But for now, we're focused on the Isser, the core. Before you get to Heterim, the Isser. So the Isser sounds like there's an Isser Daraisa and an Isser Drabbanan. It sounds like there's an Isser Daraisa if it's one-on-one. Ish Echad V'Isha Achas, that's an Isser Daraisa V'no Animili. That's a Beseser situation. But once you're three is a crowd, which is true in the world of Safik Tumah, that three people's Reiv Shusar Rabim, and it's true in the world of Yichud. It's no longer Beseser. My Taima, there might still be a Gzer Drabbanan. Sometimes, even more than two people might be Aser. Ish Echad V'Shtei Nashim is an Isser Drabbanan, because it's still some chashash. After all, Nashim Daitan Kalas. As we mentioned before, Nashim Daitan Kalas has nothing to do with intelligence. It has everything to do with the dynamics of an intimate situation. And the statistics, again, because once you're dealing with Drabbanan, it's a question of chashash, the probability of how things more frequently play out. So again, Pashas, and that's, again, Rabbi Yoel Miako and the Chavis Yar and the Chachmas Adam, quoted by the Pischei Tshuvas of Katan Aleph, that Yichud with more than two people is for sure Darabbanan. Yichud with two people, so most Rishonim are explicit that it's Daraisa. The Rambam is a little bit ambiguous because he uses Divrei Kabbalah. The fact that he says Makas Mardus, that's not much of a problem. Even the Gra himself points out it could be Nisr Daraisa but with Malkus Drabbanan, with the owner's Drabbanan. But the fact that he uses the language Divrei Kabbalah, so that raised a little more suspicious. And that maybe sounds like he's referencing the language of Remez in the Gemara, which, as the Vilna Gaon points out, Asmachta! Asmachta! But on the other hand, there are a number of Anos Ekeim and other Achronim who do think that even the Rama holds that Yichud of one-on-one is Daraisa. So we saw the Meiri points out maybe the Drasha is an Asmachta, but the Din is still Daraisa, and that allows us to resolve what would otherwise be a very difficult language of the Gemara, that Yichud is Daraisa. How the Rambam says Drabbanan, if it's Daraisa. The truth is, even the Gra himself potentially holds its way also. Because if you remember, and the Gra said, it's an Asmachta. And he was explaining, that's why what? He was talking, his context was the Onesh. He said, yeah, if the only source in Chumash is an Asmachta, of course, the Onesh is going to be Drabbanan. It's not going to be Malkus, Daraisa. And he says, even if you think the Drasha is Daraisa, it's a real Drasha Gemura, it's still only a Aseh. I mean, it's still only a Drasha, it's still not Allah. Potentially, even the Gra holds this way. Certainly, many Achronim understand the Rambam held Yichud Daraisa, and the other Rishonim to a man seem to hold that Yichud Daraisa. That's the way we usually work, on the assumption that Yichud one-on-one is Daraisa, but the other condition, not only one-on-one, numbers is one of the defining pieces in terms of making it an Issa Daraisa. The other defining factor in terms of that comes up here, we'll get to other things later on, is that she is an Erva. As you saw, there is some discussion about the Chayav Elavin, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit next time. There's some back and forth and Nosei Kelim, the Minchas Chena, the Chazanish, whether Chayiv Elavin are also included or not included, it's an issue in terms of Lo Sikrevu, and Chafal, if it's an issue in terms of Yichud, it doesn't come up that often, Lima'aseh, Bizman Hazeh, because, and this is an important point that we'll pick up with more next time, when we talk next time, we'll get to the third page of the Maram Kamos, which Arayos have a Heter Yichud. So one type that appears in our Mishnah is parents and children. We'll talk about that more next time. Another one the Rambam notes is Ishto Nida. Ishto Nida, usually there's no Eser Yichud. We'll talk about that more next time. But before I get into the details, the implication is Nida that's not Ishto, there is an Eser Yichud De Oraisa. And that's the position of the Rambam, who holds that Nida is an Erva. There is a Machlokas Reino Tam on the Rambam on that point. The Rambam holds that Nida is an Erva. We'll talk about that more next time. But I raise that now just to note that practically speaking, Yichud with any Jewish woman will typically be, unless she's a relative and it's a Heter Yichud, usually Yichud between a man and a Jewish woman is either Mutter or an Issa Daraisa. Because any Jewish woman, unless she's young enough that she has never become a Nida, or she lost her husband after the last time she went to mikveh, almost any Jewish woman is either an Eishes Ish or a Nida, or both. A single woman who has already become a Nida, until she goes to mikveh, she remains a Nida Daraisa. And the Rambam is of the opinion that that's Yichud Arayos. Ishto Nida is an exception, even though it's Yichud Arayos is Mutter. There's no Isser Yichud. So, practically speaking, the Chayiv Elavin issue doesn't really come up. That whether it's Daraisa or Rabban is largely irrelevant, because typically it'll be Isser Yichud Daraisa anyways, because of Nida, because of Eishes Ish. So that's the larger issue in terms of Yichud Daraisa Udrabanan. I would close just by noting that the sugya of Malkin al Hayichud ve'ein Osrin al Hayichud, there are a lot of detail that emerges from that, but the core principle is very relevant to the basic definition of Yichud. And that is, the core principle that emerges from that sugya is that Yichud is an Isser l'chadchila, is an Isser, a prospective Isser based on a miut, but it does not create in a retrospective impact because there's no rov. In other words, it is forbidden to engage in a situation of yichud because of the possibility that that might lead to znus. So that's why if you were misyachid, you did an aveira of yichud, and that's something that warrants malchus. Not malchus d'oraisa, malchus rabbanan, but yichud is aser because of the chance, the mere chance that could lead to znus, and even if no znus occurred, yichud itself is forbidden. D'oraisa rabbanan, but yichud is forbidden. Mitam, it may lead to something worse. But we're not saying that it probably will lead to something worse. That's the larger concept that emerges from Malkin the Ein Osrin. Malkin Yichud, because that Yichud was an Isser. But we're not going to say, and Yichud was Osir because it there was a possibility that it would lead to Znus. But it's only a Mito, it's not a Rove. That's why post facto, we're not going to say they were probably Mizana and therefore she's Asura Labaila, or they were probably Mizana and therefore she's Asura Lekohen, as the case may be. As we said before, Sota Safik is Asura Labaila Misafik, but that's because it's not only Stira, but it's Stira that was preceded by a Kinoi. So the combination of those two factors already makes it a likelihood, although not a certainty, but a likelihood, a 50-50, or maybe even a rove, that Yichud actually led to Znus. Yeah, that was really suspicious. Husband told wife in front of Edim, I think there's something going on, you better not be alone with him. And then she did. Then they really, there's a raglayim l'davar. That's at least a 50-50 suffix. But then we do say, she's even Asura misafik. She's Asura labayla, unless she passes the Mesota test. But Yichud alone, ain osrin al ha-Yichud. Why? Because again, Yichud is Aser because of a miut, not because of a rov. We're not saying, in other words, people might say, "Ah, come on, Hilchas Yichud, God, what, you think something's really going to happen? Come on, who, you know, that's absurd. What are you trying to say?" I've had yichud in the past, didn't do anything wrong. So yes, we're not saying that yichud probably leads to znus. It probably doesn't, but sometimes it does. And that miut is a significant enough miut to warrant an isur yichud, either an isur daraisa, a siyag daraisa, presumably, for those who learn Masechet Pesachim, that's taf alef amud alef in the round by chametz. As here's another siyag daraisa, or a siyag drabanan. Because again, of a miut, we're not saying it probably will happen. We're saying there's enough of a, it's a miut, but enough of a miut that it warrants an Easter. But we're not going to say post facto, once a yichud occurred, we will say, we know you violated yichud, that's a punishable offense. Yichud itself is a punishable offense, but we're not going to assume that znus probably occurred. We're not going to forbid a woman labayla, and if she was misyachedes with an adam pasul, we're not going to say that the woman is now asura Lekohen. So I think that pulls together the primary issues in the definition of the Isser Yichud, and Yichud Araisa, Yichud Rabbanan. I'm more than glad to stick around for questions, Chaver.